Welcome to Threads Podcast, Life Unfiltered. We are back and we are glad that you are here with us. Threads Podcast is a space for unfiltered dialogue about faith, mental health, and uncomfortable conversations. And I am joined in studio with a local legend, Jason Gerald Tierry himself. For those of you who don't know, he is on Strava and he had won the runs where he became a local legend. So I thought I'd throw that in there somewhere. So, local legend, how are you doing and what in the world are we doing tonight?
Mike, thank you for bringing that up. I totally forgot about it. I if you never had said anything, I never would have remembered it.
That's again. That's so funny. I was like, okay, when exactly am I going to use it? I'm like, I bet when I start the show, I can find a way to put it in.
You know, the funniest part is me trying to explain to Megan how I was a local legend and what it had to do with. That was funny. She was like, okay.
Well, because basically it's meant that you've run the most times in a certain section of a trail, right?
Yeah. Well, what's weird is like someone's had to label those as blah, blah, blah section yeah. or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So anyways, I'm a local legend from Byron Center to M6 on the M6 trail,
yeah.
I think they call it.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Not this weekend because I ran north in up in Mayo. But anyways, yes, Mike and I have not talked for a month. No, we've talked.
Well, there was a time. There was some about 3 weeks we didn't talk too much.
No. So we haven't talked in or we haven't recorded in a while. So tonight we're just going to do a catch-up episode. Not really a personal format, but some of that will come through. We're going to talk a lot about Mike's trip in Israel and just anything going on with me. And then just to kind of get back in the swing of things. And then, then we'll get into regular content.
So one could say that we are rekindling our friendship.
One could say that, but I'm not saying that because our friendship wasn't bad, but there might be some room for rekindling.
Yeah. Like as people hang out, like they'll start to like, oh yeah, I forgot this about.
So why do you want to say rekindling your friendship?
Because it's clickbait.
Gotcha.
I am a clickbait. Anyways,
I'm going to have to cut that out.
No, you are.
You can't have your mom or your pastor hear you say that.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, it's not.
Jan, sorry for the words that Jason has taught me to say.
I am bleeping that out.
So it sounds worse.
I will leave it in there. They can think of what you said, but I am bleeping that out.
Bleeping out always makes it sound worse.
Hey, if you really want to know, go to our YouTube channel because Jason doesn't edit any of that.
So do I don't know if you've seen the videos where they will bleep things out that don't need to be bleeped out.
So on like
videos of people, and it makes it so much more funny because you think they're swearing because when they hit the beep button.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be like, I was having French toast. I'll be like, I was having beep toast. And you're like, what in the world could that be?
So you're thinking, so it makes it more interesting because you're thinking about the swear word yes. that it could be.
Yeah. That's so you could do it with a pastor sermon. You could do it with like a speech by Biden or anything like that. So like anyways.
Example. Bring poor President Biden into this.
Oh, he was funny. I don't know if you saw him roast.
I don't watch any of that.
Oh, man. Anyways, okay, we will transition to, we're going to use the word transition. Jason, how was your weekend? Because you were gone all weekend.
Yeah, my weekend was good and bad.
Okay.
This weekend we went up and, in quotes, opened the cabin up, which basically means get the boat and the dock out and all the BS for the mother-in-law. It's mostly for us, let's face it. I mean, we're the family that goes up there. We're four, she's one, so it's mostly for us. But we tried to do it before Memorial Day because who wants to go up on Memorial Day and then do work for a whole day?
Correct.
So we got a lot of it done, and it was great. The weather was crap. It was very windy. So so my mother-in-law was like, okay, we're ready to get the boat in and put the dock in. So the dock is on the shore. Not on the shore. It's along the shoreline. And the water's pretty low. And she said, it's fine. It's fine. It's, you know, it's up this year. And I was like, Nolte and I looked at him like, that dock's not going to move. Like, we couldn't even float it back out. So I was like, all right, well, we're going to get the boat, tie a rope, and we're going to yank that sucker out. Well, we got the boat stuck.
Oh, no.
The boat is literally stuck on shore. We're just standing there with a, you know, what's in our hands and be like, I don't know what we're going to do. No one's up there. Like, a lot of them don't have their boats out. We were one of the first to have our boats out. I'm like, I told my mother-in-law, call your friends. She couldn't get a hold of anybody. Anyone that she could get a hold of, we don't have her boats. Like, I need a boat to tow us out. We're like, shit. So we eventually came up with some cockamamie plan. We added like four ropes, put it to the, so the back was to the shore, so the front was facing out to the lake, put a rope on the front, took the mule, attached like 300 feet of rope, and just ran the mule up and at least swung it around and pulled it to the dock that's not secure.
Yep.
But it stuck anyways and tied it up.
Wow.
That was not great.
That sounds like moments for explosions of tempers.
So that's funny.
Did it?
You know, it did a little bit, because when I was getting frustrated and my mother-in-law I called my mother-in-law and she started laughing on the phone.
Ooh, not the time.
I said, why are you laughing? Like, I didn't blow up, but I'm like, I literally said, this is not the time for laughing. I need help.
Yeah.
And then I hung up the phone. But so, she was on the deck when she was calling me back. And I'm like, I could hear her talking behind me and on the phone.
Nice. So it wasn't like a pure explosion, at least. That's, I feel like that's improvement. Wasn't there a time, now this is back when I listened, wasn't there a time where like the dock almost ended up taking off your foot? Or finger or something really like pinched?
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
It's always an adventure with that dock. There is trauma around that dock. You're right. You can probably listen to old episodes and hear me bitch about the dock, because it's terrible to put in. It's a weird system. I don't know. I'll be perfectly honest with you, and this is kind of bringing it down the room a little bit, but I think my father-in-law put it in, and she don't want to change the system because she feels like it's against him or something.
That was his way, and if you change it, then you're saying, yep,
yeah,
I can see that.
So it's a shit show with that dock, but I was excited. Megan was excited because she didn't have to do it, and Ooh. Me and Nolte were going to do it. So the good part of that, Nolte and I had a great time. We bonded. We hung out. He's just such a smart man. Like, it sounds weird to say, he's going to be 26 in December. I was like, hey, by the way, you're getting dropped on our insurance at the end of December. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm already planning on it. But I mean, like, he's 26. I'm like, this is a man. This is not my son. This is a man. Like, he just... Yeah. Just smart and just logical in his thoughts. And
That definitely has to be a cool thing to see, because of all the time as parents, right, your kids aren't being that.
Yeah.
And you go like, maybe there's hope for all of them.
And think about this. You have like 14 years before you get to that with Cam.
Yeah.
You know, or 12. What's he, 12?
He's 13, so 13 years.
Okay.
So he's halfway there.
He's halfway. So, yeah, but when it happens, it's really cool. And, yeah, I'm sure there's kids that are 25 and 26 that are idiots. And he still is a little of an idiot, let's face it. I mean, he bought a house in the biggest housing boom I've ever seen in my life. So that wasn't the smartest move. I told him not to do it, but he did it anyways, and I support him either way. But, no, that was real. We had some great laughs, some great times. And, yeah, and then I got my 12 miles in and rain. And
hills.
Hills and horse poop.
Oh,
Amish country. So,
I never knew that.
Yeah. So the horses just go right on the road. So you're just running by and like, that's a lot of poop.
And they don't, they kind of pull a me and don't pick up their animal's
poop. Yeah. They
poop.
Don't pick it up.
What?
They just let it roll.
I'm going to start saying I'm part Amish when I leave my dog poop everywhere.
Yeah. So, all in all, it was a good weekend. You know, there's really nothing we could do with a boat until the water level rises. And I don't have, we didn't have anything to pull it out anyways. Yeah. So we just parked it and tied it up to the shore and said, peace out. We'll see you in a couple weeks. So,
yeah, it's only a couple weeks away. But then that work will be done. So you can just enjoy
your
weekend with the fam.
The dock's about a 90-minute job. So,
nice.
Without any problems.
It sounds like there's always problems.
Yeah. So maybe 2 hours.
There you go.
What about you?
It was a busy time. We had a lot of people over, but it was good. It's been interesting how, and I think it's post COVID, but it exposed it, but people want to be around other people.
Oh yes, you're so right.
And we just have had friends and even new friends who just, you could tell, like, they haven't had people around a lot, and we haven't either. I mean, COVID, right, has changed that. And so it was good. So Friday night we had friends over. Saturday we went to South Haven because our house was clean. It was kind of crappy weather. I wasn't running, and we're like,
our house is clean.
Well,
because you picked up for the friends, right?
Well, and yeah, Natalie had just cleaned it, and she goes, I don't have to clean anything. I don't do anything. Why in the world are we around? We can't do anything outside.
You guys love South Haven, don't you?
Yeah, it's about 30 minutes away. It's a nice little town. We found a little cute coffee shop there. Did that, and then we had some new friends Saturday night, and then Sunday we just chilled. So it was not a crazy weekend, but it was full, but not to like the draining point. So
do you feel, going back to people wanting to be together, do you feel it's kind of like, no, this is a weird jump, so stay with me.
Okay.
9/11, how everyone like wanted to get together and they loved each other. And then like 2 years later, everyone's telling each other to F off and everyone's divided again. You know what I mean? Because everyone wanted to come together and support the country. Now COVID's over. Everyone wants to get together. Are we going to take that for granted again and then just be like, eh, I don't want to do thing with friends because whatever.
Maybe.
I'm just throwing it out
there. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that factor, like, you know, technology and what that can do. But I don't know. Like, we've always been a house where we've had people over. Just COVID stopped a lot of that, either on our end or on their end.
Well, I'm waiting for the invites.
Oh, I mean, you've gotten the invites, even for Saturday. Well, we have a dance recital we need to go to. I know.
What?
You're being a good dad.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
No, we didn't book for this Saturday.
After the race that you and I have, Natalie invited you over. You said you have a dance recital.
No. Avery's got her play.
Oh, play.
Yeah.
Play,
yeah.
Dance recital. It's all the same thing to me.
Yeah, it's all kid shit, right? No, I'm looking forward to getting over to Mike's house. Literally, we've been friends. Well, we were virtual friends starting in February of last year, but then when, I don't know when we actually physically got together, but we've been friends.
A year.
Yeah, so, which seems a lot longer, y'all. I'm just
saying. I know.
Saying,
I know. Being
shit.
Friends with Jason takes forever long.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to hanging out with you and Natalie and getting over to your house and having some fires. And we'll have to do Threads fires now that Ben's gone, not able to facilitate him. Maybe he still will, and we're just not invited.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe he'll name Threads fires too.
That would be weird. I will have to send a cease and desist. What?
Yes.
What is it?
No, you had it right.
Okay.
Cease and desist.
Cease and desist, and say, this podcast name is trademarked, and you no longer can use it. So, anyways.
Wow. Yeah. That was petty.
Yeah, I know. That's who I am, though.
That's fair.
So, yeah. And anything else on your weekend?
No.
You praised Jesus on Sunday?
Yeah, praised Jesus on Sunday.
And ran.
I ran.
What'd you run? You didn't brag about it, so it must have been.
It was just 4 miles.
Oh, okay.
4 point something. It wasn't my best.
Do we want to talk about the strain champion again, probably for the month for everything?
The month for everything.
Before the month turned over, I looked at monthly on everything, and I was number one on recovery, sleep, and strain.
Yeah, then you probably won. It doesn't record that, but yeah.
No, because I think about this, like that's pretty, okay, it's one thing to win the strain battle.
Correct.
But if you get your sleep and your recovery,
yeah,
come on, you got, that's pretty badass.
What is? And I showed you, like, for the first 7 days of April what my sleep versus need was.
Yeah, that was nuts.
It was like 2 to 3 hours off every night.
Now, granted, you weren't really, I mean, you were quote-unquote training, but not like, training like I was. I mean, I
no,
you know what I mean. I don't want to belittle the rucking, but I guess my point is you weren't out doing.
Well, I was overseas. That was the first seven days I was in Israel, and that's where my sleep and
okay,
because it was March and April.
Okay,
I was gone forever and a half.
Yeah, it felt like 3 weeks.
It felt like 32 years for me.
So we're gonna catch up and just talk about that Israel trip and what's going on in our lives as far as, you know, how it's been and those kind of things. So,
nice.
I'll cut that out.
Leave it in.
It's staying in the video.
Leave it in.
So let's talk about Israel. Like Israel. Mike and I we briefly talked about it, and I'm interested to hear about it. And
well, it's not something like I feel like I want to share over like Telegram with people, because it was such an impactful thing. And like, there were little parts I was like, oh, it was good or whatever. But so, yeah, I'm excited to sit down, and there's some things of yours that I'm excited to dig into.
Well, it's not getting crazy. We're here for you, Mike.
No, we're here for you.
The audience is here for your Israel story.
They're all here for me.
They are. That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure. So Israel. So I have three phrases that describe it, because apparently, like, in threes, like, I'm a pastor, that's what I do in threes.
Three bullet points,
three main points. But one thing is it opened my eyes. Like, I've studied the Bible for years, I've read the Bible, I've taught the Bible, but to actually see where things happened and where Jesus was and other people of the Bible, just it changed my view of what that was. Because I like, think about reading any book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a view of what it is, and then you see the movie and it changes your view.
100%.
Right? Like, Harry Potter. Yeah, Harry Potter. And again, a little bit, I'd seen that before. I'm trying to think of any, it doesn't matter. Any movie, right? You, if you read the book, read the movie, it changes, it opens. And that's how it was for me. Like the desert. I think of desert like being in America, being flat and sandy. There, it's like rocks and mountains and hills.
Mm.
And so when I go back and I read parts of the Bible where the people complain that Moses brought them out to the desert, I go, I also complained out there. I also grumbled because it's rocky and hilly.
That's so funny you brought that up, because when I think of a desert, I think of flat and
sand.
Sand.
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about that.
So you either have somewhere between 30,000 people and 600,000 or more people, right? There's differing views of how many people left Egypt. But you're going there. And so I'm like, man, that's different. The Mount of Olives, where Jesus was out the night before he was crucified, like, I imagine this miles away from the city. It was like meters. It was like 200 meters away. And the mountain was a hill. You know, so it's just these things that I had heard about and read, but in my mind, because we have such big space, I was like, oh, this is way different. Or even green pastures. Psalm 23 talks about green pastures. It's really just sand and rocks with little clumps of like grass. Like, huh. That's a green pasture. Not that that changes the passage, but it was just interesting to see something that I had read about for so long, and I had a really wrong picture of something. So I'm like, oh, that makes more sense now.
Wow. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Huh. It's probably going to be the same thing when we meet Jesus, right? Yeah. We think he's a white male, and maybe
he's olive skin,
which is not that hard to figure out, y'all. I know. I mean, anyways, that could be a whole podcast in itself.
How we messed up our view of Jesus. So that was the first thing. It opened my eyes. But then it was this harsh yet very beautiful thing. Like, it was harsh. I mean, like, we hiked up a mountain called Mount Timna in, like, again, rocky and just hot. And you're just trying to climb up it. And even there's moments where you're on, like, this narrow ledge. And I hate heights. And, like, I'm on the edge of a mountain. It goes down 1,000 feet. Like, you misstep, you're dead.
Okay, what are we doing here? Let's visit Jesus, not let's meet him today. Like,
well, I know. It was one of those, but the whole thing was that when Moses went up the mountain to get the law, it would have been a very similar mountain. It was the very same type. And so you're there and it's just harsh, and yet there's this beauty. So we were in the desert for like 3 days straight. And like by the end of that, we were complaining and grumbling. Like, we were just those people. And then we get to these springs, and like, it's just cold water from the ground and like falling down on you. It's just amazing. So in the midst of this harshness is this beauty. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, that's life, right? Isn't that life? Like, it's harsh and yet beautiful. And I think probably the best thing that came from me is this holy tension that I can hold. So you know this, and probably those who listen, I have been not happy with how the American church has gone, right?
Yeah, I thought we were going to go down that road. That's for another show.
Then we're not going down that part. But the American church in general, not even the extremes, is I have moved more and more liberal. And it's been the last few years, but even the last year. So I can blame you for a part of that. But no, not really. But there is this dissatisfaction in me going, I see Jesus being open and loving to people. And yet the American church in general hasn't been lately. Right? It's been this, I wouldn't say hate-filled, but this place that doesn't welcome people. So it's interesting. So back up a second. And so in American thought, it's like, man, so if I go down that route, I have to start saying I don't take parts of the Bible in a serious way. Like, that's just how it is in church world. Either I say I am opening and loving and accepting, and I don't take parts of the Bible seriously, or I have to go, I take the Bible seriously, and yet I have to be kind of a jerk. Right? Like, that's kind of the tension that I felt.
Yeah.
And yet in Jewish thought, so we're studying and we're talking about how there's this idea of the father's house, you know, and the father welcomes people and it's his job to make sure everybody's brought in and all that stuff in an Eastern thought. And again, over and over, our guide kept bringing us to places and stories where Jesus opened who was allowed in the father's house. He kept going to places where people thought, oh, those people are not going to be included in the father's house. And he keeps bringing them in. And I'm like, sweet. But I still have this wrestle. And then one of the last days, We talked about when Jesus was crucified, and we talked about the cup. I don't know if you remember in the garden before Jesus crucified, like he sweats blood. And he says,
no, I don't remember that.
Oh, really?
I actually don't. Okay. I don't remember that he sweated
blood. I don't know. It'd be sweat blood.
Sweat blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well, that's what I said, because I don't know what people know. And he says, Father, take this cup from me. And I just thought, oh, it's a random cup. But then during Passover, when this is happening, there actually was a wrath of God cup. Hmm. And so our teacher was saying, when Jesus is saying that, he knows that the wrath of God was going to be poured out on him. But then he talks about the cup is empty. Jesus bore the wrath of God.
Hmm.
And it just hit me as that my job, Mike Vandry's job, is to love people and welcome them in. It's Jesus' job to figure out whether, you know, they're saved, not saved, whether that's his deal. My deal is to love people with a reckless openness and let God decide who's in, out, whatever. I don't know. But Jesus bore the wrath, and so I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about who's bearing wrath. Jesus did it. So that just allows me to be in this place of where I can feel confident and know I can hold the Bible seriously. Yes, there seems to be, for sin, there is wrath poured out. Also seems like Jesus took it. But I also can be extremely loving and accepting because that's what I'm called to do.
Wow. Those are some
I know,
deep stuff you took from that trip.
It wrecked me in a lot of ways. And again, it was out, you know, like 10, 12 hours a day. We were out either hiking or riding on a bus or learning. So there's a lot. And I'm still processing. Like, I'm journaling through the days. I'm still only through like day 10. So a couple more days.
You've written every stuff about every day?
Mm-hmm. Like notes. I'm taking the notes and like, okay, what is it that I'm still learning and all that stuff.
How are you able to remember? God, I don't know if I got hit in the head too much, but like, my memory sucks. Like, I would already have forgotten half the shit that went on there if I was there.
Oh, I'm sure I've forgotten over half of it, but also I took notes there, and then I've journaled.
That helps.
And I've journaled through those notes through like day nine or 10 so far. And then I've processed this like with Natalie and I'm with some other people in my life of, okay, what is it that I actually learned on this trip? So that's just, yeah, it was, again, it was one of those moments where, it opened my eyes. Like, I wouldn't say life-changing, because I don't think many things are life-changing, but they opened my eyes to a different way of only seeing scripture. Because again, in our Western mind, like, go back to my last point, it is either I'm going to be full of grace or I'm going to be full of truth. Right. So it's either I have to be accepting and loving, or I have to be like the Bible says this. But why can't I be loving and accepting and let God figure out that part?
You do bring that up, but then you are called to a level of witnessing. I like your neighbors.
Yep.
Where do you stand on that? I mean, you can love on them, but what does that mean? Like, just be respectful and like hang out with them. But like, when it comes to the things that, I mean, I don't know. Actually, I don't really know where you stand on that. I don't think you've really said. As far as
here's where I'm at is no matter where people are at. Like, I think the best way to witness, first of all, is just to live a life of radical, like, you are welcomed and loved.
True. That's 100% true.
Because that's what we all want. We talk about people wanting to come over and needing to come over and thinking like, oh, thanks. Like, it's been a while since people invite us over. That's what we want.
Yeah, but isn't that just being a nice person?
Yes, but also people then know, hey, you're a Christian. But also it is inviting them into the Christian story, into, hey, there's somebody who loves you even more than I do. There's somebody who welcomes you more than I do. I think in Western society, again, myself included, we're like either this or that. And that's just allowing me to be in this tension. No, both can be true. God poured out wrath. God hates sin. But he's more concerned about the chaos that people are stuck in than anything. So,
can I put a little bit more pressure on this conversation?
Let's go.
So you say that, but what is your ultimate goal with, so they're gay. I should have prefaced that at the beginning because people that are listening now may have not heard of them. We've talked about it before, but where does that go from there though? What is your ultimate goal? Just to love on them? So you're bringing them close in, you're bringing them in, but
my goal is for everyone. I want everyone to be in the Father's house.
Of course.
And so again, I think we're worried so much about little things or huge things about people. I don't want to diminish what,
Well, little things to us because we don't give a shit.
Yeah. And it doesn't affect my life like it affects their life. But again, I don't think God is. I think we are overly concerned about that instead of saying you are loved and you are welcome into it and God will figure that part out.
No, I totally agree. People focus on it too much and that doesn't need to be the focus. Yep. I'm just wondering what your end goal is because obviously you want them to be in the kingdom of heaven. And at some point, if you don't believe that you can be gay and still be in the kingdom of heaven, I'm not saying you do or don't, then that's a problem.
Yeah, and I would say that that would be a terrible view of Christianity, which people have. It doesn't matter what thing we are struggling with or chaos or anything about us, that doesn't exclude us. What keeps us in or out would seem to be a faith and trust in
that's true
in this Jesus. And it doesn't matter the other stuff that people call sin, people don't call sin.
You know what? You're totally right. If you believe in God and you trust in him I looked at that hot girl today and she had a nice rack, but like that's a sin too. So
yeah, and Jason, like, oh Jason, you're out now.
Right.
And again, I also could say that sin, right, and my sin, anyone's sin, anything we call sin or anything we call the chaos we're stuck in, Jesus bore the wrath for that. Like that cup is empty. The cup was poured out for them.
That's cool, man. So I want to talk a little bit about the trip just in a weird, not philosophical way. So can you tell the audience a little bit, like, what was the deal? Like, this wasn't a vacation. You didn't have to take PTO. What was the theme around that? Like, I want to know. So you talked about all this hiking, and I'm like, you prep like a mofo, and you were in shape before you went. What about people that are like, it's fine. I walk 3 miles a day around the block.
They got killed.
I mean, how do you even finish? I mean, just you describing the terrain is like, I think I would struggle with it.
It did. Each one of us had a day where we struggled, and it took the other 52 people to get us up where we were supposed to go, right? Like, there's just after that many days and that much mental, everyone needed that. Even the strongest of us needed that. But there were some people, on day three, I thought some people were not going to make it through the rest of the trip.
Wow.
And a couple of people, that big hike up Mount Timna, a couple of people didn't do it knowing that they couldn't do it, which, like, I was glad. Like, if this would have happened a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to do Mount Timna.
No.
I mean, it was hard. It was just, again, you're going up thousands of feet, and every step you're on rocks that are not stable. So you're not sure. You know, it's one of those where now you're not just walking, but you're kind of stairs that are a little uneven, slippery, or like can tip over. So yeah, it's an intense trip.
Would you think a month in the Appalachian Trail would be harder than what you did in Israel?
Probably in different ways, yeah.
It'd be mental. The other one would be, well, there was both hard mentally.
Hard mentally, and I think the Appalachian Trail is, I mean, especially if you do a month, right? That is just 30 days now. Of just go, and it's not as nice of places to stay. Like, we stayed in nice hotels.
Did you? I was going to ask that too.
Tons of food. and it was like, eat as much as you want, just grab anything you want. So, like, that made the suffering a lot more bearable.
So you knew what you had at the end of the day.
Yeah, at night, you had a nice bed. It was air, you know, it was cold. You had as much food as you wanted. Like, there were times I ate three big plates because you're just like,
oh, you burned like 3,000 calories a day.
Five or six for me. I mean,
really?
Well, I'm a big dude.
Did you track it?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't track your eating, but with your whoop.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of calories burned. And again, I mean, 3,000 for me would be like today when I worked out. But
yeah, no.
True. Anyway, so it's just, but I think because of that, now if we go to the Appalachian Trail, it's going to be, hey, we're going to sleep in a tent or in a yurt or whatever. It's going to be like, I think that's what makes it harder too, is you're never out of the elements.
That's true. So, wow. So where do you go from here with all this? You took this information. I know you had leaned a little bit into something we talked about with Threads that, I don't know, you had said like, what am I trying to say? Well, we talked about the business aspect of it, but you had made a comment about like, Israel kind of changed my attitude around some things, and maybe I misheard it, but how has your attitude changed from Israel? Everyone comes back from those things. Like, I've been on a couple of mission trips to, no, this wasn't a mission trip, but I mean, kind of, but I went to help kids with, at orphanages, yep. You know what I mean? And then you come back all fired up and then it kind of wanes and like, I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to wane for you, but did you come back with a sense of like, I mean, obviously we talked about what you came back with, but I'm just curious about anything else.
Yeah. I remember saying something to you and I don't remember what it was.
I know
anymore.
It was like a passing comment and I did note it, but it wasn't enough for me to circle back and say, what did you mean by this?
Oh, you should have.
But yeah, you did say something about, since I've gotten back from Israel, I've really thought about some things and it was something about.
Oh, wait, that was when I was messing with you. Remember, I was messing with you like, hey, I came back. I was trying to mess with you either, like, try to guess.
I don't think so.
There was one where it was like, either you're like, wait, we're not friends anymore, or you're off threads. And I said, no, neither one. I was just messing with you.
No, there was some other one. But anyways, I don't believe you anymore. You mess with me so much. I mean, you're going to call and say, I lost my leg in an automobile.
I know, you won't believe me.
I'm like, picture if it didn't or it didn't happen.
Pick or it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy.
So, I mean, I think parts of it where you said, like, there's always the thing that your life can go completely back to normal.
Yeah.
So the skeptical part of me right before I went was like, in Holland, there's thousands of people who've gone on these trips. And Holland's still the place it is, right? And there's good that happens there, but there's also a lot of stuff I'm like,
that's a really good point.
It feels like anti what this trip is. But I think true of any trip is whether or not you, see, again, not that that moment changed your life. It was something that opened my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I have the decision now, am I going to continue to explore the Jewish and Eastern part of my faith? And I have that decision. And I've tried, again, I got a Jewish study Bible. It's not on my normal Bible. I got one that has a very Jewish view. So doing that, there's a couple books. There's a podcast I listen to because, again, I'm making the decision that I want to continue to grow on that. I think this trip opened my eyes to, hey, there's a whole different way of seeing the Bible. That doesn't mean my old way was wrong. It just means, you know, if we're both looking at my phone and I hold it up like this, you're able to see the back and you can describe all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I also can see the front. We're both seeing the phone. We're both right about what the phone is.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the option of, do I want to continue to study this new side of the phone? And I am, and I'm digging in. Because, again, I think there's something else that will help me grow as a Christian and therefore as a better person as I continue to see this other side of Christianity.
Did you make any podcast connections while you were in Israel?
No.
What the hell am I even got you here for?
I know exactly. Why in the world did I go there? Why did Jason sponsor that?
Yeah, I was sponsored by Threads.
You see all my shirts and all the pictures?
No.
Threads podcast? Oh, wait. There's nothing in tall sizes. Anyways.
I can get you a tall
size. Yeah, so again, I don't remember. I think the comment was a sarcastic one because I'm
okay. That's totally fine. I'm just, you know, just looking for questions out of this whole segment.
Yeah, that's good.
But, I'm glad you are looking at loving people. And I think it just I think you honestly, Mike, I think you were thinking that before.
Yeah.
And I think this just reaffirmed your thought on that.
It did, but it allowed me to continue to hold to what the Bible says though. So in Christianity, you have a very liberal end who says we're all about loving people. And to be quite honest, they don't take the Bible seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't say it that way. They don't take the Bible in.
Literally.
And I was struggling with that. I'm like, I still see the Bible as the literal word of God, and I want to try to follow it the best I can and not run away from difficult things. And in my opinion, a lot have. But I also didn't want to be this alt-right Christian. And so I'm trying to battle. And the Jewish view allows me to take seriously what the Bible says and yet fully and openly love people. And so, yeah, not doesn't mean that it allowed me to do that. It just means that I can do both at once. And that to me is huge. Because again, I was wrestling with that so bad and not, you know, being able to have that. So
have you felt listening to this show? You did make the joke that you started being more liberal. I became more liberal doing this show.
Yeah.
Because I started talking to people that are doing stuff that are way different from me. I'm like, interesting.
I don't know that it was the listening part. I think being on, but again, I had been on a journey even before. Oh, sorry, I used that word already. We should have a journey button.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
You should have a puke button when somebody says journey.
That would be funny.
That's the one it should be for journey. I will send you to Jesus. I don't know where I was.
You lost your train of thought. I ain't no help either. You know me.
Okay.
It's like a 2 second in and out.
Sorry for everybody wherever we went. Okay, I'm trying to think back. Anyways, it was.
Damn it.
It was an amazing trip. And
no, we were talking about liberal. Yeah. We were talking about show making you liberal.
Yeah, I'd been on the path for a while.
There you go.
Of trying to figure this out, because as the more I read the Bible, I was like, well, Jesus seems like in a lot of ways he'd be pretty liberal, but in other ways he wouldn't be. And so, again, it doesn't help me how to vote, but.
But doesn't it make sense, though, that you shouldn't take the Bible for literal? Like, what other book out there do you take literally? Now, again, obviously, science is a little bit different, or medical procedures. You have to take those literally because, you know what I mean? But I never looked at the Bible like I need to take everything literally.
No, I mean, to read the Bible faithfully, you have to understand the genre. So, like, you know, there's parts, you know, they say Genesis 1 through 11 are our poem. Well, you don't take a poem literally. You take the point literally, though.
Yeah.
And again, there's so many things of Christianity that a very liberal Christian will not even take seriously. They've said they've moved beyond. I've heard that from their mouths. We move beyond what the New Testament says. And I was that never jived with me, because I'm like, but then I'm not basing it on anything. So anyways, it just allowed me, we don't need to Bible talk too much more.
No.
It allowed me to be able to do both of, like, I can hold what people say that seems liberal. I can hold that strong in one hand, and I can see what people say conservative. I can hold that strong in the other hand. They seem to be at war, but also they actually work together.
You heard him, everybody. Mike says, screw Bible talk. Let's move on. Let's talk about my boring life.
Let's talk about, let's talk about your bees. So you got a tat about bees like a few months ago.
So my tattoos, as I said before, and maybe I've said it on the show, is just a story of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I have an autism logo, puzzle pieces, a microphone, a tree. I don't know what has to do with my life. Maybe that was like one of my first big ones. A big bearded guy. What else I got?
There's a mic,
American flag, a microphone.
There's one that looks like a Whoop band.
Yeah, there's one that says "I love you more than coffee" for my wife. I don't know. I'm losing Tough Mudder, my dog Brutus. So I got bees, and so it kind of inspired me to get bees again. Is like, it's tough. Bees are a weird thing, right? So they live fine, other than the mite problem that's going on with them, or humans, they live fine in nature. Why are we trying to force these bees in a box to live for and on our property? You know what I mean? It's kind of a weird thing. But I got inspired to do it again. So exciting. You're going to hear news that you haven't heard yet.
Okay,
so let's go. You. So we got the bees, me and my buddy, and it's been incredibly cold. It's been very a terrible cold. Spring. And I told the guy I was getting the bees from, like, hey, it's still really cold and I'm a little nervous about them. And, you know, he didn't email me back, but these bees come on a semi.
Okay.
From like
Texas.
Georgia. Not Texas. Georgia.
Okay.
Usually. But anyways, somewhere warm. And yeah, the bees are dead, Mike. The bees are dead.
Oh no.
Yeah. So my buddies are too. I mean, we put them in and it was too cold. And when it's cold, they hover.
Yeah.
I was feeding them, but they didn't have any honey. So any resources or anything, they weren't going out of the hive. They died.
Oh, that's hurt.
Yeah. So we're out of the money, because he goes, I delivered you a healthy product, and he wasn't a dick about it. And I'm like, I get it. He's out in Holland. I'm like, I totally get it. I understand. I was just trying to call to see. I mean, I had at least try.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? The bee packages were $120 a piece. So, I mean,
did you buy more than one?
Well, I bought one and my buddy bought one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is, but I knew it. I emailed him because he had a May date. Well, which clearly it's May today and it's still shitty cold.
It's cold.
And an April day, I'm like, he goes, oh, I don't have enough people for the May date. I'm doing April. I'm like, it's too cold.
Yep.
It's too cold. So that's where we are. I'm looking for, it's called a nuke.
Okay.
Which basically means it's usually overwintered bees that made it through the winter and they already have established brood and honey and honeycomb. And so, Yeah, that's where we're at. So the hive's out there right now. A bunch of dead bees in the bottom. I haven't cleaned them out yet.
So, if anybody has connections to a nuke.
Oh, I have tons of connections.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you planning on doing it?
I am, but it, you know, we're looking at $200. The nukes are more than because they're already established.
Okay.
Packages aren't the way to go either, but it's the cheapest way to get into it.
But again, for $80 more, you could have just gotten a nuke. So now looking next one.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to spend any more money than I had to. I mean, but yeah. So that's where we're at. I mean, at one point before I got rid of all the hives, I had 5 hives.
Wow.
In my backyard.
Now, because now I used to work with somebody who was into bees. Now, bees can just decide one day to up and leave, right? So even if you have them for years, they can be like, see you later.
Yeah, so when they end up leaving, it's because they've outgrown their space.
Okay.
So as a beekeeper, as you're tending to them, you got to stay on top of that and see if it make sure they have enough room. But yeah, I had one of my hives towards the end of me not caring about bees swarm.
Okay, swarm is the word.
Swarm, and I watched them sit in the tree. I knew it was mine. I didn't re-catch them. I just let them go.
Okay.
So what they do is they swarm, and then they send the workers out to look for a bigger area. So inside that big swarm, the queen's in there. And then I'll catch swarms. I've caught in a swarm before.
Okay.
It's really easy. They're super docile. You just go up there and knock the branch and they all fall into the thing and you drive away.
So you're able to get a hive that way.
For free. So there's plenty of opportunity to do beekeeping for free other than the equipment.
Yeah. Now, have you ever gotten stung when you're keeping the bees?
Yeah, I got stung when I put the hive in, the package in, because I was like, they're fine. They're docile. Yeah.
They were pissed off once you let him out.
Yeah, he got me in the hand. Well, I wasn't geared appropriately.
Ooh.
I didn't have anything on.
Jason, Gerald.
No, I was like, it's fine. They're chill because it's cold.
Yeah.
Nah, it's fine. You know, it does hurt, but it does not hurt like a...
Like a wasp.
Like hornet. Within 10 minutes, it was gone.
It's gone.
No swelling really or anything. So.
Yeah. Okay. Fun stuff.
But I did get a bee. So... I got stung. I went and put my equipment on, and I ended up getting one in the hood.
Ooh.
I did squish him because he was right by my face. Yeah. I'm like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Didn't matter anyways. They're all dead.
Yeah, they're all dead. Maybe because you killed the one. Maybe it was the queen you killed.
No, it was not the queen.
Because the queens are normally marked, aren't they?
The queen was marked. You can get them marked. So I put the queen. Okay, let me back up. You put the queen, you leave her in her cage for 3 days. Then you go back and make sure she's out. And I went back and let her out. And then, like I said, 2 days later, there was no activity.
Because it's been so freaking cold.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So speaking of cold, how is riverbank training going in this freaking cold weather?
I was just saying to my, I don't know who, maybe my son, that in all this training started, what, like February?
I think February. Yeah, February.
Early February. I've worn shorts twice.
Ooh.
And it's May 3-2-1 today.
Two.
I don't two.
It's gonna be May.
Yeah. So it looks like this weekend is gonna be pretty nice.
Okay.
I mean, for doing the tulip time, you and I are doing that.
Yep.
Looks decent weather, so nice. I probably will be wearing shorts this weekend.
Ooh, so I can see your sexy white legs.
They'll be white.
They'll be white as can be.
But yeah, training's been tough. I always say I love training in the cold, but I'll be honest with you, this cold weather and this cloudiness has really hit my mental health rough.
Well, and like cold in the winter feels different than cold in the spring.
Exactly.
Like it's like wet cold, and that's a different.
Yeah, and you're expecting it to be. I mean, I can deal with a little bit of cold and a little bit of cloud if it's 60.
Yeah.
But not snow.
Yeah. Because on Sunday, I think I ran in like 50, but it was sunny in the morning, and then it got cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
That was pleasant.
Yeah.
There's enough sun to keep you a little warm, but not like summer training where you're like finding every bit of shade.
You'll be proud of me though. This weekend, I did not wear a stocking cap.
Wow.
I wore my hat. I did wear cold leggings and I wore one shirt and my zip up.
How cold was it there?
It wasn't bad when I ran. It was probably like 40.
Oh man, I would have been sweating like a pig.
Why?
Well, because 12 miles, our half marathon was in the 30s when we ran it, and I didn't wear that much crap.
I mean, I think, honestly, no matter what, how cold it is, unless you're talking like below zero, you're going to sweat.
Yeah.
Because you're exerting a ton of energy. So.
Yeah. Has it been hard doing this without me?
It has been hard.
Yeah.
It's been real hard. You've celebrated my wins, which I really appreciate it, but It's been tough.
It's something about, because, you know, this past weekend, what, you did 12, and there's something about suffering, even if it's not in the same, like, running together
in the same county.
Yeah, but you know the other person is gonna suffer with you.
Yeah,
and that sounds horrible, but like it is. Like, because me running 4 miles means nothing to you when you're running 12. Like,
yeah,
I totally get that. So,
but and I know you're not there either. So actually, it was a good run. It was, like I said, it was wet. It was drizzly off and on.
Yeah.
But honestly, overall, I felt good with my run.
Yeah. So something you said in passing that I waited till now to talk about, you talk about not running a fall half. Is that because you're like down about this one, or because like you need to take a race season off?
There's two issues. One, I sent you the injury thing with my feet. I got that going on.
Okay,
so it doesn't hurt when I'm walking around, but once I start getting into higher mileage, I'm actually going to make an appointment with a foot doctor.
Okay.
Not to do anything with this race. It's almost over with.
Yeah.
But just before I train again, to say, hey, this is what happens when I increase my mileage. Yeah. What can I do in the meantime?
Has it always happened or just on this time?
It's always happened.
Okay.
Now, it didn't happen that much in my first half marathon.
Okay.
I think I really never stopped running after my half marathon. I slowed down.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been there about half the training this time.
It was the same shoes or the same type of shoes?
Yeah.
Okay. Just different color.
It's basically what happens is where I land on my right foot.
Hmm.
And it's putting pressure on those two little tendons right there.
Oh,
and starting to get in a little bit of a ball of the foot issue too. So
which especially for your job, right? You're on your feet. You don't want it to spread to your job.
I don't think it will.
Okay.
I think it's only because, I mean, what did they say? 7 pounds or
7 times your body weight.
Yep. Exactly. On your joints and everything. And then my left knee's still bothering me. Not that I can't do anything.
What's better than last time's?
Last time was rough because of the IT band.
Yeah, you almost didn't make it.
I almost didn't make it. The IT band is non-existent.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It's good. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then lawns. You kind of talked about that in the beginning.
Yeah, the lawns have been tough. It's just been one of those worst seasons ever. I'll be honest with you. When you put a 700-pound machine, then you put a 200-pound, under 200-pound man, by the way. Thanks to intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting?
Yeah. And then you add, 150 pounds of fertilizer. You got,
1,000 pounds.
1,000 pounds going over these squishy lawns. Ugh. And so, I did get stuck once last week. I was able to get myself out, but tore the shit out of the lawn. I mean, effed it up.
Yeah. Well, I think right before we left, like, you had a couple of false starts of weeks. I think that was before I left.
Yeah.
Which probably had to be so frustrating.
Yeah, it's tough. It's part sprint. This kind of weather is part of the job, but it was ridiculous.
It's a bad spring.
Dude, we had more sun in January and February than we've had in April, end of March and April.
Yeah, I'm so like, it's weird coming back because we were in the sun all the time. And we had one, like, half of a day that was cloudy.
Yeah.
That was it. And then come back here, it's like, holy shit.
Like, what was, like, the temps over there?
Between, like, 80 and 90 as high as most days.
Oh, wow. That's sticker shock for you.
Yeah. But it was in the south, it was drier heat. I know I sound like a boomer now. It was dry heat. It's better. But when we got to the north, there was one day it was 90 and humid. That was a lot. But we had the water packs. And you have the hose and you just drink all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that has to be, oh man, because I worked in garden center for quite a few years, and April, the end of April is supposed to be a busy time.
Yeah,
I don't see anyone doing
any
project like mulch, anything.
No, this is the first. I usually have mulch down by like mid April.
Yeah.
I love the outdoors.
Yeah,
Megan has noticed my like, I've not been depressed, but I've just been like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just on life in general, it's just like. She's like, well, you should get your sad light out. I'm like, nah, I don't care. I'm powering through. And that was 2 weeks ago. I'm still powering through.
Because it hasn't been sunny yet.
It hasn't been.
Yeah.
Jesus, please bring the sun.
So speaking of lawns, has your lawn been mowed yet? Or you not even need to
do that? Yeah, I mowed it once.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't touched mine. But again, that's not surprising, but.
Yeah.
The fact you've only mowed once means how bad.
Yeah, usually I'm about at least three in by now. I mean, my lawn looks great.
Yep.
It does because I take care of it. All the neighbors are like, why does your lawn look good so already? I'm like, because I take care of it every year. That's what happens in the spring. Your lawn doesn't look like horse shit because.
And you also did work in the fall, I'm sure.
Yeah.
To prep for.
Well, you just, it's not even that. It's just a continuous program year after year. You don't, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I got fertilizer was first week of September.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, before the first app this year, but it just.
Yeah. But I bet most people haven't put on that late. So kind of back to the training. I get why you won't be doing the fall one or might not.
It's not out of the question, but yeah, let's talk back to that. Yeah. So Riverbank in a couple of weeks, and then Tough Mudder a month later. And
I'm
then
not looking forward to that.
You're not?
No, I don't. Again, I'm sure I'll get into it, but I'm not like, let's the weights are not my thing right now. Me
too. So here's the thing. Here's what I predict happening, and I've mentally thought about this.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm done with this big race, I'm all in. Like, I'm stop running.
Okay.
It's going to be all weight. No, I'll run on the weekends. It's going to be all weights and rucking.
It's going to have to be. But, man, like, I don't have anything major, and I'm just like, ugh. Like,
I think it's because our first go-to was going to be Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen. Then they're, all right, let's do a half marathon, which it's a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I'm not getting fired up to go to run a half marathon.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah,
I just not. Tough Mudder is just like the adventure and the story behind it and the challenge of, you know, the one video I showed you.
I think here's the thing I think, too, is because of the weather. Like, I know, like, hey, I want to go out in freezing cold water and do this. I do think it's weather related more than I realize.
Yeah, that shit doesn't bother me.
No, but because it's just been so, it's been so depressing. It's
oh, like, you don't want to get out and train?
No, or but like to think, hey, we're gonna go do this when it's 42 degrees right now.
No, it won't be.
I know, but like in my head right now, it's not like, hey, warmer days are ahead. We have the summer thing coming. It's like it's been freaking.
Yeah,
cold.
What can we do to get fired up about it?
I don't know.
Should we shock each other with 110?
Yes.
Let's stick our finger in the socket
Let's do that right now. Actually, that's the worst voltage to get shocked by.
110?
Yep.
I didn't know that. It's not comfortable.
Well, because it also will hold you on. The higher ones will push you off.
Oh, shoot you back?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. You have a higher chance of surviving. Random factoid.
I mean, I've been shocked by 110 before.
It's not fun.
It's uncomfortable.
I've been shocked by it. Gonna say no, and I think today, like, I trained harder. Like, I was the third person last week in train. Sorry, Megan.
Do we just need to be harder on you?
No, I was hard enough on myself.
Yeah,
I busted it today.
Well, you're not gonna put up. I mean, when I'm doing these intervals, you're not gonna put up those numbers.
No,
it's just not gonna happen.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay,
I was freaking third place.
So what? Megan did better than you.
But she didn't break 10 and be like, come on. It's like she didn't
break. Well, that's on you, bro.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, that was a check for me. It was last night. I'm in third freaking place under 10.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Yeah.
So
I wish you kind of did train run with me this time, because you always beat me in strain and running.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see if, because this plan that we did,
yeah,
hard plan.
And if it would have been me doing that plan, you imagine my strains was like,
you'd be in the 20s on those interval days.
I'm like 10 by 400s.
I'm supposed to do that tomorrow. I don't think it's happening because it's supposed to rain from 7 a.m.
Come on, do it. Do it.
Well, you know what? I could do it at the Y. I'm a member at the Y now.
Oh, you are now?
Well, Megan signed up again a couple months ago. I could go do it on a treadmill.
I didn't know you guys signed back up. I know that was your thing. Yeah, you should do that.
I have never done a workout on a treadmill in the last 2 races.
Is there a track though?
There is at, I can't be flying through that freaking track like a D-bag.
Why not? That's what track's for.
Oh man, I'd be flying.
I know.
I bet it is a four. No, it's not quite a 400. I bet it's 2 laps for a 400.
But
there.
Still do it. How much better than a treadmill? Like, intervals on a treadmill would be terrible.
It would be.
It'd be the worst. I would just be like, you know what? I'm never running again. Because it's so stupid.
I hate going out. You know what? That's a good idea.
Yeah. I know. I'm full of good ideas.
Damn it. I was hoping to skip that thing tomorrow.
You're like, you shouldn't have said anything about the why, and I would have been like,
I know. But I totally forgot about it. So anyways. Well, this has been fun. Keep that on there. No.
Okay.
No, we're going to talk about it. We got to get it going.
Okay.
Mike's changing the freaking rundown when I'm trying to rap. So any final thoughts on our rekindling our friendship? Are we better? No, you know what? I know, we're going long. We knew this one was going to be long. But let's talk about the rekindling.
Yeah.
Mike brought that up because I think on the last episode, I had said privately to Mike that, hey, I feel like we're just talking shop and we're not hanging out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the rekindling of a friendship title came from. But what are we going to do about that?
I know we try to set up a date to hang out.
No,
and then
but
you guys bailed on us.
And yeah, it's got to be me and you, though.
I know. I think it's more difficult right now with you working a normal job.
And training. That's another reason I want to be like, hey, yeah, guess what? I don't have to run for 2 hours tonight. I mean, last Thursday was an 8 mile slow run. I ran to the dark.
Now, here's my only thing of what it could be is if we trained on the same days for like the speed runs, we could train at the same time.
Or working out with weights.
Things like that where it's not like, see you later, dude.
But not only that, I want to have like go out to dinner and just like talk whatever.
Talk life
without, you know,
a mic stuck in your face.
Yeah, without doing it on Telegram and shit like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of why this title came around, because I feel like Mike and I need to refocus on our friendship. Not that we haven't, but I mean, you get involved with life and like this comes up and then you end up talking chop the whole damn thing.
Yeah. That's so often what happens. I have nothing else. You're
clearly
looking at me like I need something
else. Clearly.
I'm
that was like the, you just went.
It's all out. Nothing left in the tank.
No final thoughts. Okay. Yeah. You know what? We'd love for you to join us on Facebook. Even though we hate Facebook, we do have a Facebook group. We just chat in there a little bit. That link is in the description. Also, sign up for the newsletter. You didn't do a newsletter yet, did you?
It was a month off.
You mother effer.
I know. It's a month off. Boom.
Look, he just doesn't do it.
But
I'm just not going to edit this week. I'm just not even going to upload it.
That's different.
It'll make it there somehow.
Nothing happened last Friday.
Yeah, that was.
Anyways,
so yeah, sign up for the newsletter. Mike's doing 2 this month. We give exclusive content as free. And then also Buy Me a Coffee, and we are going to do a Patreon. Buy Me a Coffee is a good platform. It'll still stay there. But Patreon, we want to bring you more content. And that will be coming sometime this month. I was working to get it out this week, but it probably won't happen. And as always, guys, keep the faith, do your work, and live life unfiltered. Peace.